And this, turn back to Amos chapter 1, verse 1. And he says, this is 2 years before the earthquake. In the time of Uzziah, there was a major earthquake. And he said, this is happening 2 years before the earthquake. So it's like the prophet Amos recalled the things that happened, God, what God spoke to him. And he spoke. And what happened? And he, after the earthquake, he told the people, said, oh, this is 2 years before the earthquake. Okay? So Amos chapter 1, verse 1, basically records all the background, the time, the location, okay, and the prophet, the occupation, and where he's from. And in Amos chapter, in the book of Amos, we can divide this book into four major sections. First section is from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 2, verse 16. God rose from Zion. God pronounced judgment against eight nations. This is the first section. The second section is from Amos chapter 3, verse 1 to Amos chapter 5, verse 17. Inside, it records there are three messages, basically, the main three messages. God always starts with, hear this word, hear this word, hear this word. So we categorize and group them together as second session. And we'll discuss the three messages that God wants the people to hear. And the third session is from chapter 5, verse 18 to chapter 6. Verse 14. Inside this section, report three woes. Okay? And the last section is chapter 7, verse 1 to chapter 9, verse 13. Basically, inside reports three visions. Okay? And we'll discuss the vision and also the prophecies. Okay? So let's look at Amos chapter 1. In Amos chapter 1, it says here, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, and he said, the Lord rose from Zion and uttered his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Let me ask you, it's a good thing for the Lord to roll. It's a good thing. What do you think? It's a good thing. For the Lord to roar, maybe like a lion. Huh? No, right? If your parents shout at you like a lion, you know you're in big trouble. If you look at from the context here, when the Lord roared, what happened? The pastures of the shepherds roared, and the top of Carmel withered. This is a parallel, okay? The pasture of shepherds and the top of Carmel. But parallel, together, basically, they have similar meaning, overlaps. And the other one is verb, mourns and weather. They mean negative. It has similar meaning. So, what does it mean, pasture of shepherds mourn? Do you think the grass will mourn? What's the pasture? Anybody? In the Bible, there's always metaphor. Metaphor means using something that we can see, but then it has what? Figurative meaning or symbolic meaning. So when we read things, we cannot treat it as literal. What else? It doesn't make sense. How can the pastures of the shepherd mourn? It's not an animal. It cannot mourn. But then it describes the pasture mourn. What do you think the pasture means? Huh? In Psalm chapter 23, right? We are what? We are the sheep of God's pasture. So what is God's pasture? God's pasture is referring to God's kingdom. Okay? God's kingdom. And the Carmel, if you check dictionary, Carmel, it means garden. It's a very rich soil, fertile soil. But even a cup of corn meal, a very rich pasture, it withers, it dies off. So from here, we can see what the Lord grows. He carries a very negative connotation. What happened when the Lord grows? We have to read from verse 3 onward, all the way to chapter end of chapter 2. In chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 3 to verse 5. First, God pronounces judgment. What the Lord wrote, it means God pronounces judgment. And let's look at chapter 1, verse 3. This says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron before. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazel, which shall devour the palace of Ben-Hadad. Verse 5. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Avon, and the one who holds the scepter from Beth-Eden. The people of Syria shall go captive to Kir. So here we can see that when the Lord wrote, there was no any mercy. The Lord was very firm in judging and also in punishing this country, Damascus. And why God wants to judge Damascus? It's because they attack God's chosen people, Gilead. And then they treat these people with cruelty. They have very sharp weapons, and they kill people. They even kill the people. Okay? So God, at this time, wants to take vengeance on God's chosen people. And he basically determined there's no way that he's going to change his mind. There's no way he's going to have mercy upon Damascus. And from this book of 2 Kings, we can see that Syria, Damascus is the capital of Syria. They constantly war against Israel, fight. Okay? And God will revenge at this time. Okay? And God prophesied, Amos prophesied, the people of Syria shall go captive to Kir. Okay? Where's Kir? Anybody? No. Okay. But just to let you know, the current Iraq, right? Kir is one of the city in current Iraq right now. And let's turn to a passage. This is where Syrian come from. Let's turn to 2 Kings. Let's look at Amos chapter 9 first. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9, verse 7. Amos chapter 9, verse 7. Are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me, O children of Israel, says the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, the Philistine from Captor, and Assyria from Kir? So that's where Syria moved out to the place called Damascus. And now God said, I will send you back. You shall be captive and back to you, the place where you departed. And let's look at 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 9. 2 Kings. Let's put a bookmark at Amos chapter 1. We'll come back. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 9. So the king of Syria, this is a passage that the king of Syria attacked Damascus, and took the captain, and then sent them to Kir, and killed the king called Rezin. Okay. So we can here see God's prophecy fulfilled later on. Okay. So this is the first judgment of God against the foreign country. Let's look at the second message. Let's turn back to a second country. Let's look back to Amos chapter 1, verse 6. Amos chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. The second country that God spoke of is Gaza. Verse 6. This says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. Verse 7. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. Verse 8. I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistine shall perish. Here, we can see why God wanted to punish Gaza. Today, if you read the newspaper, Gaza is a strip of land west of Israel, near the border of Egypt, and also border of Israel at this time. And it's not a very big land, but however, Philistines going in there, okay? And God wanted to punish them because one thing that they did in the past is that they attacked the cities in Judah, and then they took the captive and sold them off. And at that time, the chosen people of God suffered. Maybe they suffered because they worshiped idol, and God let them be punished. But it doesn't mean these people, the enemy, God's enemy, will not be punished. They do a wicked thing towards God. Okay, so God wants revenge. So at times, sometimes you might feel, how come God used some certain people to punish me? And how come that person is not punished? That person is more wicked than me. Don't worry. At God's time, God will punish them. And so God was determined to punish the people. And God said he will wipe out the remnants of Philistines so that they will not be remembered anymore. They don't have any more descendants. Let's look at the third country, Tyre. Amos chapter 1, verse 9. There says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because they deliver up the whole captivity to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. Verse 10. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. The third prophecy is against Tyre. But what did they do wrong? Because God said, you broke the covenant of brotherhood. You might wonder, what's had to do with brothers? I mean, are they brothers? This had to do with 1 Kings chapter 9. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings. When we study prophecy, we have to know, we have to be very familiar with 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and also the history of Judah and Israel, because we have to know what happened during that time, and so we can understand better the prophecy. In 1 Kings chapter 9, 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 11. Hiram, the king of Tyre, has supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress and gold as much as he desired. That King Solomon then gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Verse 12. Then Hiram went from Tyre to see the city which Solomon had given him, but they did not please him. Verse 13. So he said, what kind of cities are these which you have given me, my brother? And he called them the land of Kabul, as they are to this day. In the time of Solomon, Solomon wanted to build his own house and also build a temple of God. So he made a treaty with the king of Tyre that Israel will provide grains and wine and oil for them. But in turn, Tyre will provide wood and gold for Israel. And so they make a covenant and they treat each other as a brother. But now, after certain time. What Tyre did is that they attacked Israel and then took some of the people and sold them off to Egypt and to make a profit of it. Okay. And God remembered the covenant that they made. So now God judged and said, Tyre, you did wrong. You forsook the promise, the covenant that you made. And this is to remind us too. At times, when we make a promise to God or to men, or promise that we will do certain things at a certain time, we have to do it because God sees everything. God will watch if we fulfill our promise or not. And if we break our promise, God will punish. Okay? And so at this time, God is going to punish Tyre for the wrong that he did. Let's go to Edom, the fourth country. Let's look at Amos chapter 1, verse 11. This says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away his punishment because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast out our pity. His anger tore perpetually and he kept his wrath forever. Verse 12. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Bozrah is the capital of Edom. Okay? And Teman is one of the major cities in Edom. It's well known for the people, the wise men. And God said why he wanted to punish Edom. Because he always held grudges, anger in his heart. He doesn't let it cease. Yes, Edom are the descendants of Esau. And Israel are the descendants of Jacob. And sometimes these two countries fight each other. Okay? But Edom will not forgive Israel. It held grudges. So at this time, God said, that's it. I'm going to punish you because the attitude that you have. And so the Bible does remind us, there will be a time that God will judge us. If we do according to these people, Edomites, also grudges, not able to forgive, then the Lord will judge us. And when's that time? It's a time when the Lord roared like a lion. When did the Lord roar like a lion? Let's turn to Revelation. Let's put a bookmark here. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. So God judged the Edomites because these Edomites have this characteristic. And if we have this characteristic, we'll be also judged by God too, for God is just God. And let's look at Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and speed like a pillar of fire. Verse 2. He had a little book opened in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the land. Verse 3. And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Okay, verse 4. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered. Do not write them. Verse 5. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven. Verse 6, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there shall be delay no longer. Verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Here records an instance happened between the sixth trumpet to the seventh trumpet. And at that time, John saw a vision. Angel came down. And when this angel roared like a lion, seven thunder speak. That is not a good sign. That angel is the Lord. The angel roared like a lion. Okay. We can see, in the time of Amos, he saw the Lord roar. But in the future, the Lord will roar once again, between sixth trumpet to the seventh trumpet. Okay. And what does it mean? There's two ways to figure it out. One is we look at the context. If you look at the context, it's just like if like a manuscript, right? Somehow the book was damaged, which was torn apart. And you see the first sentence, and then the second sentence disappear, and then the third sentence appear again. But you can pretty much read between the lines and choose what's going on. The seventh thunder speak, but then John was prohibited to write it down. So we don't know what it was said. There's no way we can figure it out. But if you read the context, the lion roar from the book of Amos, we know the Lord God is not forgiving. God will perform his justice. He will not turn away the punishment. Okay? After he wrote something negative that the thunder said, so therefore God didn't want the people to know and tell John to not write it down because it may cause some people to fall. And then the angel started to speak. What did he say? Verse 5. The angel whom I saw standing, he raised his hand. What do people raise their hand? Verse 6 tells us he was swearing. Swearing means definitely. He will do it, or God will do this. There's no change of mind. What does he swear? He swore there shall be no delay. We know that the Lord have mercy upon us. That's why he didn't come. Right? Hoping that people will repent and turn to him and people can be saved. But at that time, God decided not to have any more delay, not to have any more mercy. Okay? From the context, we can see that when the lion roared, physically, God is not going to have mercy. God will do his justice and carry out his plan. Okay? And let's turn back to Amos. Amos, from the context, like the Lord rose from Zion. It's not a good thing, too. God pronounced judgment. But once God pronounced judgment, if people want to change, it's pretty much too late. Destruction is pronounced against them. Their fate is sealed. So God, we have this study. Four countries, their fate was sealed. God determined to punish them. Okay. So why God punished them? So this is to serve as a warning for us. And so while when we study these things, these countries punished by God, we need to be warned about it and not to do these things so that in the time, God will spare us. Okay. Let's go on to the fifth country, Ammon. Let's turn back to Amos chapter 1, verse 13. Amos chapter 1, verse 13. This is the Lord for three transgressions of the people of Ammon and for four. I will not turn away his punishment because they ripped open the woman with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. Verse 14. For I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour its palaces. I met shouting in the day of battle, and attempted in the day of the whirlwind. Verse 15. Their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together. Rabbah is the capital city of Ammon. And God promised that he will destroy them because they did something very cruel. They attacked the city, people, God's people, and then they killed the woman. Well, this is helpless. They even killed the infants. Okay. So we can see that any cruelty that's done in this world, God remember. Any cruelty that is done against God's chosen people, God remember. God will revenge. Okay? Let's fear God. Let's go on to the sixth country, Moab. Amos chapter 2, verse 1. This says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to life. Verse 2. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and he shall devour the palaces of Kirah. Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting and trumpet sound. Verse 3. And I will cut off the judge from his midst, and slay all his princes with him. God judged Moab and promised to destroy Moab is because Moab do something very, just kind of very insulting, very rude. It's like humiliating other people. What they did is Edom and Moab does not have good relationship. This is not concerning chosen people of God. This is between so-called Gentiles with Gentiles, unbeliever with unbelievers. Anything that they do, okay, any cruelty, God remember, and God judge them. Okay. So God is not simply judging people because they do something wrong against God's people, but anything that they do wrong against other people, God judge too. So this way, I mean, what they did is pretty much is like today's people want to shame other people and torture other people. So after a person died, a punishment, okay? They hand their bodies up in the air somewhere to humiliate them, to shame on them, okay? And this is no respect for the dead, no respect for the person, especially the king of Edom, okay? And so God recognized that and punished them. Let's look at the seventh country God spoke against. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 4. This says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. Verse 5. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and he shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. This is very scary. After God, we can see the first six countries, Gentiles, God's judgment. But does this mean that God's chosen people are spared? No. God will judge his own people too. So when the lion roar, it's not just for Gentiles, but it's for everybody. Gentile and believers. And what did God notice? He noticed the people of Judah despised the law of the Lord. Just like David. Nathan, the prophet Nathan, was sent to David and rebuked David. You despise the law of the Lord. How did David despise God's law? He didn't keep it. Okay? So, verse 4, it says, they had not kept God's commandments. Which ones? Quite a bit. Basically, the all 10 commandments, they did not keep. And today, we are just like same. I feel like we are the same as them. Honestly, look at ourselves. Do we keep the fourth commandment, really? Do we keep the fifth commandment, only appearance? Do we keep the ninth commandment? Do not bear false witness. Do not lie. Honor, and do we keep the second commandment, first commandment? We shall have no idol. We do have a lot of idols. Okay. And some of our idol can be internet, games, whatever. Okay. I want to share with you a testimony. There was a preacher's son. He liked to play games, just like any one of us. We like to play games. But somehow, this brother, the son, he has a very good religious background. His father taught him to read Bibles and helped teach him to read Bibles. So he knows a lot of things in the Bible. And when you go to SSC, you know, people know that he does read the Bible. He had a habit of reading the Bible. But somehow, for a period of time, his father realized that his son liked to play games and do not have self-control. But then one day, he came back home and he saw the son was not playing games, was doing something like reading Bible or something. And the father was very amazed. How come my son changed? Okay. So he asked the son, what happened? And the son was saying that because of God's word, this one phrase of God's word remained in his heart. Basically saying that we need to remove our idols. And he knew that the games had become his idols and started taking time away from worshiping God, from praying to him, reading Bibles. And he knew that in order to be upright before God, he had to remove that idol. And so he decided to put away the games. And today, we have idols in our heart. Whatever that controls us is our idols. The Lord has called us to be free. To free from what? From any bondage, smoking, drug, internet, anything. It's not like we cannot watch TV or have a lot of fun. But the thing is, when we are bounded by it, and when we have really a weakness, every time I play or do this, I've been bounded by it, and start to develop this addiction, then cut it off. So don't let these things become an idol. Later on, as you grow, you'll discover, you'll develop habits like other people, not habits, but maybe interest about money, like other people. Some people are greedy for money, and that greed for money become their idols. They want to earn more money. It becomes their ambition to earn as much money as they can. But they put away God's law, Sabbath, and God's commandments. Not keeping them. They lie. They cheat. They steal. So that has become idol. We need to be cautious. At different age, we're different idols. Everybody's different. And we need to overcome them. Especially at this time, as a youth, right? Our idol may be what? Pornography. Or lust after opposite sex. And that's an idol too. And we have come here to NYTS to learn how to put it to death and to be upright before God. And if we have not determined to put away and to renew ourselves, to transform ourselves, I can assure you for these 2 weeks, it's going to be very quite painful, because you feel that God's quite far away from us. And why am I here praying, but then the heart cannot be devoted, cannot concentrate? The heart is still somewhere else. So, brothers and sisters, we have to make a decision. If we're going to do it, if we're going to be in NYTS, let's put our heart into it and enjoy it. What else will be very painful? Okay. So let's turn back to Amos. Chapter 2. Verse 4. And he says, their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. What lies do they believe in? What lies do they follow? We need to understand. From the Bible. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15. The elder and honorable, he is their head. The prophet who teaches life, he is the tail. Okay? At that time, we can see there are some prophets in the land of Judah. they are telling lies. What kind of lies? Let's also look at Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. Let's see what kind of lies they tell. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. Their prophecy to you, a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. So basically, God did not send them. And they started to say things that God did not say. And then their dream was not the dream of God. It was their own dream. Of course, today, we're able to discern that, right? That dream, is that true or not? You may think about it, okay? But this passage, in today's term, means that there are maybe some people, when they preach, or when they teach, they are teaching something beyond God's word. Bible didn't say, but they add to God's word. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Verse 6 here says, do not add to these words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Who are liars? There are some prophets, or maybe preachers, or maybe parents, or us. Are you teachers or brothers and sisters? When we tell certain things about God's word, we add God's word. It's not like we cannot paraphrase it, but we change the meaning. And it's very subtle. For example, God said to Adam, the day you eat of it, the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. What did the snake say? You will not die. That's adding to God's word, changing God's word. And today, we need to be cautious. Don't hear anything. We need to see, is it according to the Bible or not? Okay. So sometimes people can use a passage, but they add to it. But Bible didn't say that. But something was out of their imagination. They imagined certain things, but Bible didn't say. So we need to be cautious and aware. Okay, so people believe that kind of lies. Okay. Another kind of lie they believe in is their own excuses. Let's turn to Hosea, or themselves. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 10, verse 13. This is speaking to Israel. Okay. Hosea chapter 10, verse 13. Chapter 10, verse 13. You have far wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. Today, we might be trusting in lies so that we are very confident we can disobey God, just like these people. They despise the law of God and trust in lies. But what kind of lies do we trust today? We might be trusting like these people. They trust on material things. These people trusted the armies. So many armies. We are safe. Any people attack us, we're able to defend ourselves. That's what they trust. And today there are many people trust in money. Right? If I have a lot of money, then no matter what disaster happened, money will save me. That's not true. And today we may be trusting ourselves. I'm smart. I trust in my IQ, my own intelligence. I know the way to get around it. Doesn't matter about God's law. I do it my way. If we think like that, or we've been practiced like that, then we are trusting lies. But we need to wake up, because we cannot continue to sin. And because of these people despise the law of God and trust in lies, what did God say? God said he will destroy Jerusalem. can be us. Okay? And the last one, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 14 to 20. Basically, idols are being called lies. Idols are lies. Today, pretty much, if in our hearts, we have idols. Whatever the idol is, we trust in them. That's why they become our idols. We feel like this is very valuable, precious, something I can rely on, give this pleasure. But the idol is lying. Okay. So we have studied these seven countries. The one last one, because of time, I decided not to go into it, because we cannot cover. Do any brothers or sisters have any questions from what we just studied, from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to chapter 2, verse 5? Any questions? Anything that is not clear? Or anything that I haven't explained to you? Okay. Oh, by the way, I want to add one more thing. Today, right, we might have this false confidence in our church, some believers. Some believers thought to themselves, I already baptized. I'm a true teacher church member. I receive Holy Spirit. I'm safe. No, it's really, some people think like that. I'm okay. I don't do bad things. Right? Even though I commit break God's law, this and that. But I really don't do a major serious sin, right? Not like commit adultery or fornication or a murder, right? I'm not that bad. And we're thinking, oh, I'll go to heaven. Not so. So let's not trust in that kind of superficial things. All right. Any questions? No? Okay. If not,